title of my sermon is Don't Miss This Opportunity. Several times when I'm acting like a nut, because there's a sports game going on, my wife says to me, why cannot men and people in general, women too, be as excited for God as they are for sports? Well, we're not going to miss this opportunity, and I want everybody to go around and high-five each other that they came to church today. Well, that felt good. Now I guess I can settle down. Opportunity. Life is an opportunity. Many people miss and lose opportunity because they don't know how to spell the word. Did you know that there are several spellings to opportunity? I'm going to teach you some of these alternate spellings of opportunity today. Around the turn of the 20th century, that's the early 1900s, there was a city that had some financial trouble, so they decided to hold a meeting and to come up with ideas to solve their problems. During the discussion, a stranger entered the meeting and, after listening for a while, offered some advice. But they did not recognize the man. They just ignored him. Shortly afterward, there was a council member arrived and said excitedly, well, did he offer some help? And they replied, who are you talking about? And he said, didn't you know that was John D. Rockefeller, who at the time was the richest man in the world? They didn't listen to him because he was a stranger, and they lost their opportunity for some help to solve their problems. Did you know that the richest person in the universe is available to attend our meetings and willing to help, yet we forget him and neglect to ask? Life is full of opportunities that are embraced or lost. What does opportunity mean? It means an appropriate or favorable time or occasion, a favorable time in life to reach a goal. What is your goal in life? Getting married? Getting rich? Having a good job? Owning a nice house? Having children? How about going to heaven? You need to know when these opportunities show up. The word in Latin means toward a port, a ship that is aiming its sails correctly to move toward a goal. We want to adjust our sails so we can make our destination. A lot of opportunities are missed because we think they are crazy when we first hear them. I learned to say crazy correctly from my nephews, Scott and Steven. They taught me how to say crazy. Some of the most successful things in life start out as a crazy adventure. Spell opportunity, opportunity. You need to recognize these opportunities. The apostles were presented with an opportunity. They knew that you fish with a net at night so that the fish don't see it. Fish are dormant during the day. If you know anything about fishing, you know that there are times when you are just wasting your time. And when Jesus came to the apostles in Luke 5:14, he had done the preaching. He said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Simon Peter is thinking, we know you're a carpenter. We are fishermen. We know about fishing. You don't fish with a net during the day as they see the net and you can't catch them. Peter said, Lord, we tried all night and caught nothing. Jesus didn't change his word. And Peter said, okay, nevertheless, it's your word. I'll obey and let the net down. And they took Jesus up on this outrageous opportunity. It says their nets were caught with so many fish that they began to break. And they had to get another boat, and both boats began to sink with the weight of all the fish that they caught, because they almost missed this great opportunity. Sometimes it doesn't make sense when the Lord speaks to us, but we need to listen. He has a plan for us, to help us, not to hurt us, And we need not to miss these opportunities. I mean, what general would ever suggest marching around a city and blowing trumpets as a way to gain victory? Opportunity. Why would you reduce your army from 30,000 down to 300 to fight a couple hundred thousand men? But those who stayed in Gideon's army, while it seemed crazy, found out it was an opportunity and they got a great victory. Some people in the business world have invented something that no one else had. Have you ever heard of Joe Green? How about Mark Zuckerman, the founder of Facebook? Probably everybody knows him. At public offering, Facebook brought in about $100 billion. Zuckerman didn't even finish Harvard. Most of you don't know that Joe Green was his roommate, also a computer programmer enrolled at Harvard. And Mark said, let's quit college and let's take this social network thing that we are developing. It could really take off. And Joe said, that sounds like a crazy idea, and he didn't go for it. He didn't take the opportunity, and he missed this multi-billion dollar adventure. He is, however, still friends with Mark, but he knows he missed this great opportunity when it came along. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 24:14. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man living in a far country, who called his servants, and to each one he gave them something according to their respective abilities. One got 5 talents, one got 2 talents, and one got 1 talent. Everyone is given an opportunity. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord says, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. You notice it does not say, I am pushing you through the door. He sets an open door before us. But do you know what that means? You have to decide if you're going to go through the door or not. All through life, God gives us doors of opportunity. He gives all of us servants various abilities, and we need to reach out and embrace them. Life is filled with opportunities, and sometimes we don't recognize them because we don't know how to spell it. Another spelling for opportunity is spelled T-U-N-E. Nehemiah is someone who recognized opportunity by being in tune with the Holy Spirit and embracing a great opportunity. You can read about it in Nehemiah 2:1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, when the wine was before him, I took up the wine and took it to the king. He was the king's butler. Now I had never been sad in his presence, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you're not sick? This is nothing else but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lie waste, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to him, for what do you make your request? What do you want? So what did he do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Right on the spot, he prayed. One way to embrace those opportunities is to pray that God will help you find the opportunities. Right then and there, before the king, he prays to the king of the universe. And I said to King Artaxerxes, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, the city of my fathers, that I might rebuild the city. Did God hear his prayer? Because he was in tune with the Holy Spirit, he asked a very risky question. He could have been beheaded for that. He got the opportunity God had planned for him. Have you ever noticed that an opportunity passed you by because you were not in tune with the Holy Spirit and you did not recognize that opportunity? The more you walk with God and the more you stay in tune with God, the more you will recognize God's direction for you. If you spend some time in prayer every day and you ask every day for His Spirit, When those divine opportunities come, you will recognize them. It can help you with all sorts of opportunities. Some opportunities may be financial, some romantic, some work-related. I read about a bag boy that worked in a supermarket, and he was out in the parking lot pushing some carts back into the store. He saw a lady struggling with her packages. She had too many in her cart, and she put one on top of the roof, and she was also struggling with her keys and opening up the door. You ever done that? She was a little out of his way, and it appeared she was going to do it all right, but he felt impressed to walk over there. It looked like she would be done before he got over there, and he fought the idea of going versus the urge to push the carts back to the store. But he followed the inner tuning of the spirit that told him to go toward that car. He got to the car just as she climbed in, and sure enough, she left the package on the roof. She started out of the parking lot, and he started to chase after her, and just as she was ready to turn out onto the street, the package slips off the roof, and he leaps and catches the baby. She left her baby in a basket on the roof, and he felt this strong inner urging of the Spirit to go help this lady. Now, who do you think that was? The Holy Spirit, and he was listening. Another spelling for the word opportunity is opportunity. A lot of opportunities are lost because we don't think the timing is right. Isaac is an example. In the passage in Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed and planted in the land and reaped in that same year 100-fold. How would you like to reap 100-fold? And the Lord blessed him, and he became very prosperous because he sowed. Sometimes you need to recognize the opportunity to make an investment. You know, as a farmer, you take the seed and you don't eat it, but put it back in the ground. We not only invest in a financial sense, but we invest in a spiritual sense. God will hold those responsible that are not willing to take a risk and invest in His kingdom. Part of that is by recognizing those opportunities when they come. Isaac planted, got 100-fold, and the next year with only a part of it, he got 1,000-fold, all by recognizing the seasons for planting. You know the stock market, it all has to do with timing. Well, you know in the Christian life, it all has to do with the seasons for planting. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you recognize these times. Someone said, don't wait for extraordinary situations to do good. Use ordinary situations and invest in them. Carpe diem. You know what that means? Seize the day. Every day we have opportunities to do something for God, and we miss many of them. Another spelling for opportunity is taking inventory. Opportality. You tally things, you count the things God has given to you. So many times we spend our times looking at things we don't have, and we forget to look at what we do have. We look at the abundance we may not have. We don't recognize that rightly used, the little bit we do have can be used greatly. 2 Kings 4 talks about the widow who lost everything because her husband died and left her in great debt. She went to Elisha and said, I have nothing. What am I going to do? Creditors are going to come and take my sons for slaves, and I have nothing. You know what Elisha said to her? 2 Kings 4:2. Elisha said, what do you have? Not what you don't have, but what do you have? It is so easy to pine and feel regrets about the gifts we don't have, or maybe we weren't born into a wealthy family, or we didn't have this or that. And he said to the widow, if you listen to me and use what you do have, you will not only be able to pay your debt, but you will have something to live on. And when she listened to the man of God, God performed a miracle because she concentrated on what she did have. Remember the multitude that Jesus fed? The disciples came and were all worried because the people had not eaten. Do we get worried when people have not eaten? And where were they going to find enough food to feed the 5,000 people? Matthew 15:33. Do you know what Jesus says? What do you have? Count. Take a tally. They said, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they are small ones at that. But what is that among so many? What did Jesus do when they took a tally of what they did have? Jesus blessed the food, and everyone had plenty to eat, and in fact, there was food left over. Alexander Graham Bell said, when one door closes, then another one opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully at the closed door that we neglect to see the one that is open. Wow, what a lesson for me. I always like to look at that door that was closed, but I need to learn that lesson. Another spelling for the word opportunity comes through a test. It is called opportunity. Esther is the story of this. Sometimes when a terrible trial comes to us, it is really an opportunity for God. Esther 4:13. There was someone who wanted to eradicate all the Jews, and a law is made, and it looks like all they have to look forward to is a death decree. And Esther says, there's nothing I can do. And Mordecai says, you are the queen, go to the king. But she says, I can't go talk to the king without permission or I may be killed. In verse 14, Mordecai says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews in some other place. Another opportunity will come because God has a work for this people that he has not fulfilled yet. But you and your father's house will perish. So Mordecai knew God was going to open another opportunity, and Esther would have perished. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, this terrible trial that had all the Jewish people moaning in the streets, Mordecai recognized that this might be the very purpose that Esther was called into the palace to be the queen. This trial or test they were going through was a great opportunity, and she acted on that. And what happened as a result? Not only were the Jews spared, but their enemies were destroyed. And Mordecai was moved to be a leader, and the Jews began to lead because Esther recognized this crisis as an opportunity. Crisis is an opportunity. Albert Einstein says, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Someone else says, and if you are looking for a big opportunity, look for a big problem. How many of you know of someone who went through a terrible trial, and that trial opened up a ministry? Do you remember the man with no arms and legs? What a ministry God opened up for him. Some crisis, some test, some loss ended up becoming an opportunity for them to witness. And if they had not gone through it, they would have never had that opportunity. So always ask the Lord at the end of a trial or during a trial, where is the opportunity in this test? Another way to spell opportunity is opportunity. 2 Kings 13:14 through 19 is about Elisha. Elisha was in bed and he was sick and dying. The king of Israel goes to visit, and when he is done crying, Elisha tells him to stop crying and open the window. Take your bow and fire an arrow out the window. So the king obeyed and shot an arrow out the window. Then Elisha said, this is the arrow of deliverance from the king of Syria. Then he said to take a handful of arrows out of your quiver and beat the ground. So he struck the ground 3 times. The old sick prophet got mad. Verse 19 says, Elisha was angry with the king and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have destroyed them, but now you will strike Syria only 3 times and not be able to completely rid your enemy. You missed your opportunity because you did not have the toughness. Someone said, when opportunity knocks, you must get off your seat and open the door. Some miss the door of opportunity because they never get up and open it. And the sign on the door of opportunity always says, push. Ann Landers said, most opportunities are described as hard work. Someone said, take a lesson from the mosquito. He never waits for an opening, he makes one. Then we get an opportunity to witness called an opper testimony. Philip is someone who recognized the divine opportunity to witness. Acts 8:26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go to the south. He left the fertile mountains and went to the desert. And out there in the desert, he finds an opper testimony to witness. He said, this is someone the Lord wanted me to talk to. And as a result of seeing this opportunity to let his light shine, not only did Philip have his face shared with the Ethiopian man, but this Ethiopian man took the gospel back to his queen, and the whole country was converted as a result. And there is still Coptic Ethiopians today because Philip recognized the divine opper testimony to talk about Jesus. Don't miss your opper testimony today. Paul, when he preached, said, I am free of the blood of all men because I declare to you the full counsel of God. We're going to have the blood of men on our hands if we don't declare to people the full counsel of God because they will miss their chance for eternal life. Paul never missed an opper testimony. Proverbs 3:27, great advice. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is within the power of your hand to do so. When you have the opportunity to do good, do it. Proverbs 3:28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it to thee when you have it with you. Now is not a convenient time. When you see the chance to share the gospel with someone, you need to see that as an opper testimony and do it when the opportunity presents itself. Keep Christian literature with you. You never know when it could help someone. Someone said, opportunities are seldom labeled. One sad spelling of opportunity is opportunity. Felix in Acts 24 is my example of opportunity. If you want a preacher to preach to you and share the gospel with you, you couldn't find anyone better than Paul. Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. He spoke all over the then known world and in many different languages, and he did it with passion. Here Felix heard Paul make a powerful gospel presentation, and he felt God calling him to accept him, but he thought, I will wait and think about it, and he rationalized it away. Acts 24:25 says, and he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, and Felix trembled. The Holy Spirit convicted him. Felix answered, go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call you. He was feeling impressed to repent and accept Christ, and he said, not right now, I'll do it later. The devil's famous and most successful ploy is to tell you there's no hurry. Do it later. All of the history for the whole nation for that period could have been changed, but he said, not now. So what could have turned into an opportunity turned into an opportunity. Mark 10 is the story of the rich young ruler, and he even asked for eternal life. Good master, what things should I do that I might have everlasting life? And Jesus tells him what to do. What is worth more, all the treasure on earth, or what God has in store for you in heaven? Jesus was offering him all the treasure in heaven for eternity, not just for a season. Now that is a good opportunity. Unfortunately, the rich young ruler said, not now. He not only missed the opportunity to have eternal life, but he gave up the chance to be one of Christ's apostles, as Christ said to follow me, just as he said to Peter, James, and John. The Lord sets before us an open door, and he wants us to recognize that open door, and he wants us to invite him into our lives. In closing, I want to invite you all to look for the opportunity, the opportunities, the opportunities, the opportimities, the opportalities, the opportestities, the opportufities, and lastly, with God's help, make sure you don't have any opportalosities. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son to die for us, to give us the opportunity for eternal salvation. And we want to take the opportunity now to accept that salvation and open the doors in our life for you to come in. Help us to take this opportunity you gave us in life to share your message with others, that we can invite all our friends and high-five them in heaven and be all together with you. In thy holy name, amen.